Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Small boat tuna time. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We are July 20th and 21st. Just loving that heat wave this past week, man. Get that sweat rolling. Hey, don't have a big float, no worries. Don't have to go down to the canyons or those places closer to the canyons, the Princess, Triple Rex, etc. The ridges and the lumps. You got some yellowfin going on, you got some bluefin going on, and it's only going to get better. Joining us in our next two segments, Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters, based out of Overseas. Yes, you know him as Stripers and Fluke. He is one badass small boat tuna guy. Going to be talking tactics, what to do, what not to do, etc. And also, wrapping it up will be Jim Hutchinson Jr., managing editor of New Jersey Delaware Bay edition of the Fisherman Magazine. His pound for pound editorial will open your eyes to what is going on with these regulations. It is crazy. Man, we're really jammed on the freshwater front. Ooh, some of this hot water getting the bass a little persnickety, but as always, my chain sides, my pickerel, they are there for the action, and they'll rip your face off. And the catfishing has been in a little bit of a downturn. The channels where you're finding them, those areas where they do spawn in those holes, whatever, in the banks, they're getting a little touchy, but otherwise that should be getting going again in about 2 weeks, back to the crazy time it was before the urge to merge happened. Again, channel cat reproduction in Jersey is rare, but it is there. Anyway, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio talking small boat tuna. Bluefin, yellowfin. Ooh, the troll. Oh, the jig. Oh, the pop. Oh, the chunk. Oh, it's time.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
When 1-800-GOD-JUNK leaves your home or business, we recycle the recyclables and donate the donatables.
Tell him why, Brian.
We have four reasons.
Reason one.
We do it because it's the right thing to do. Recycling conserves our natural resources.
Reason two.
Donating means that some of the better stuff we pick up gets to be loved and used by another family.
Reason three.
It saves us money. The less we take to the landfill, the more we save.
Reason four.
It saves you money. Spending less on landfills helps keep our prices low.
Mother Nature wins.
The families who take home what we donate win.
We win.
And our customers win.
People love to see a win-win scenario.
But we've created a win-win-win-win scenario.
We make junk disappear.
All you have to do is point.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOTJUNK.com.
High five! Up top! Heck yeah!
Dave's company just got the first ever 5-year price lock guarantee from Comcast Business.
Yeah, 5 years!
It's 5 years of gig speed internet.
High five for gig speed!
5 years of advanced security.
Security win!
And 5 years of a great rate that won't change.
Our rate ain't changing.
All from the company with 99.9% network reliability.
There it is!
He hasn't given this many high fives since Deborah brought in her famous banana bread.
Woohoo!
Now he's got savings.
I'm so excited.
Yep, Dave's feeling it. But it's only for a limited time, so don't wait. Switch today and ask how to get the first ever 5-year price lock guarantee from Comcast Business. Powering 5 years of savings. Powering possibilities. Comcast Business.
And it's hurting, but I am not stopping.
Ends 8/21/24. Guaranteed rate applies to monthly service charge for new customers on qualifying internet bundle, excluding taxes and fees. Other restrictions apply.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Okay, we've been talking fluke, blah, 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 blah. What about, I do the offshore reports for the Fisherman Magazine. It's been lean. Little pockets of action here and there out in the canyons, mid-range, inshore. Some inshore activity is happening. Now, we had some brutal weather this past week. But you're a small boater. You are not out of the tuna game, especially with these four-stroke power plants, man. It is phenomenal. Put a call in to, everyone knows him as Mr. Striper, Mr. Fluker. Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters, based there in Absecon. Had a couple of great articles in the Fisherman Magazine regarding small boat tuna opportunities, and small boat doesn't necessarily mean small tuna. Wangle him out of a charter to join us here early in the morning. Yeah, doing a little delay because that's who Captain Scott Newhall is, to talk some small boat tuna. the smarts, the do's and the don'ts, and how to approach what can be. You have an 18-footer. Yeah, an 18-footer. You have a 19, 20, 21, 22. You are not out of the tuna game. Bluefin, yellowfin, big eye, it's a whole different animal. Hey, man, you got your skipjacks, too, coming there. Longfin, for an albacore, another matter. But especially for the bluefin and the yellow. Some of these bluefin, school bus size. That's right place, right time, and you better be ready. Captain Scott Newhall, how you doing, bro?
I'm great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Your enthusiasm knows no bounds. this has been a tough fluke year for you, has it not?
Yeah, I think for everyone. It's with the chilly water temps, the constant upwelling, 58-degree water every time you dip your toe in. Woo!
Now, Scott, I know you've been doing some limit catches here and there, and the people I've spoken with, some of your charter are very pleased with the action, a lot of fish. But it has indeed been this weather pattern, Scott. It's been a tough go.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's got everybody in fits. There's no doubt about it. In fact, places that are more resilient of the cold water, even they're having trouble with the constant upwelling.
Well, Scott, to the tuna game, I read a couple of your articles over the years. I did the tuna thing, too. People say I did it, but out to the canyon, you know, the Hudson, down to Baltimore. And it is, one, it's a long, these are long boat rides. Two, it's work. Three, it's more work. Four, it's a long boat ride. Five, then you have to help clean the boat. I don't care what it is, you're going to have to help clean it. It's a great experience, big fish, whatever, out there. But, Scott, the small boat game. Now, over the past few decades, I call them crazies. Shout out to you, Carberry, there, former artificial reef coordinator out there in a 20-footer. Him and Scott, they lasted. They brought in, and Carberry said, I'll never forget it. Tom P., the weather changed so fast, we're coming back in 6 and 7 footers. I was saying a prayer, and he said, thank God I had a will made. But they made it in. You know, 75-pound yellowfin on a deck, though, Scott. It's changed since then, especially with the power plants. They had the extra fuel cans on board. It's a different small boat game tuna game, is it now? Isn't it, Scott? Sorry, I'm too excited. I'm talking tuna, people. It's crazy. Go.
Oh, it's increasing in popularity, that's for sure. Folks are definitely including it in their plans for each summer. So your average fluke, striper, tog guy is now including near shore bluefin tuna in their repertoire. And why is that? Because more and more bluefin of small school size, 28 to 35 inches, but also those small mediums that are well over 100 pounds all the way up to like little mini giants will pop up. Anywhere from right off the beach to out to 10, 15, 20 miles, without a doubt. That's the inshore bite. And then, of course, you have the midshore, which goes more of a 30 to 50. And that's even more reliable at times. So there's a lot of options. And as you said, with the four, you alluded to in the intro, with the four strokes and the fuel capacity these days,
yeah,
and the way the boats are created, guys are out there in 18-foot Carolina skiffs. I've seen them out there tied in a huge tuna. It's great to see. It's kind of exciting, actually.
Well, Scott, I call them the teenagers, the 200, 300, 400, whatever. The seaside lumps last year, was it about 5 or 6 weeks? That incredible, man, all the shops are totally out of squid jigs. That squid bite was like the triple wrecks 3 or 4 years ago, where that bite went well into December. I never saw anything like that. And Scott, big fish.
It was wild. I only got out there one time. I was real busy with the fluke. I got out there and I was like, holy cow, there's 100 boats. And of course, I caught about 50 squid. It was a little bit of a lotto. So you have 100 boats, and I saw 7 or 8 boats hooked up with, 100 to 150-pound class bluefin tuna. Now, if you're doing everything right, you just got to hope your numbers call. Well, I didn't catch one that day, but I ate calamari for the next week.
Scott. Tom P. pronunciation, calamad. In Italian, the true accent, the R is a D, calamad. Let me hear you say it, Noel, yeah. Calamad.
Calamad.
Calamad!
Oh, I give up.
Okay, Scott, listen, on a more serious note, you have to, as the Eastwood character said, you have to know your limitations. I'm sure you've seen some scary things out there. What would you advise? What, like, before you take that, you've never done it before, you're good on the inshore stuff, you're good chasing a tog and whatever, stripers, whatever. You want your Krakatoa, but you're in a 22-foot boat. Go with some precaution, Scott, and knowing your numbers, knowing where to go, and reading the conditions. What do you got?
Well, I agree 100%. So, I don't think you just buy a boat and like, hey, I'm a tuna fisherman, I'm going to head out there in a 20-footer, as soon as you walk out of the AC boat show. You want to have a lot of time on the water so you know how to read the water. You want to understand what wind and weather do, wind against tide. You got to understand, or certainly look out for, is the afternoon going to bring up some thunderstorms and squalls that could be dangerous? The inlet itself obviously can be a real problem if there's any kind of swell. Buddy boat, if it's great to have friends going out there. All right. So I keep a Garmin inReach so I can text with buddies. So I'm not just using the radio. I can actually do the satellite texting. You want to know your policy with your CTOW and Towboat US. How are they going to come get you if you're out of radio range? Let's say you do go to the Reeser wreck, which is 30-some-ish miles,
right,
depending which inlet. So let's say you don't have real good antenna range. Okay, you're going to use your device, your Garmin inReach or similar device, and you want to text someone at home and with the coordinates where you broke down. You want to think ahead. What am I going to do if catastrophe strikes? And so you have a plan. So I'm always thinking when I'm out there, what happens if this happens, or what happens if that happens? What am I going to do? One of my biggest concerns as a small boat guy, and actually you could be concerned about it as a larger vessel fisherman, I'm always the most worried during the ride out in the morning. Okay, so you're heading out in the morning, it's dark out. I have radar. If you don't have radar, you should wait till you have a little bit of you can stage in the inlet and wait for some pink light, get a little bit of viz, and then, hit the afterburners. So if you don't have the radar, it'd be sitting in the inlet, maybe putting out, and then when you get some light, drop the hammer. But if you do have radar and you are riding out in the dark, my biggest fear is hitting some submerged log or something, or
oof,
tree that came out of a river, and That's my number one concern, actually. But in any case, I will wear my life vest, the inflatables they made everybody buy, I might add, that wall back last fall. But I do like wearing that in the dark. Once I get out there and there's daylight, you'll see you have, if it's calm enough for a small boat, there's going to be a lot of boats out there. That's a great thing. Once you arrive on the scene, you're going to have a million people out there. So unless you really move off the lump, the wreck, wherever you're fishing, you're going to have a lot of friends out there that you don't know. They're all over the place.
Well, Scott, listen, we're up against a break. Have you on for another segment. Want to talk, again, one last thing on the safety we know we're doing. The bait out there now is primarily, I know the big thing is squid. We mentioned squid, sand eels, what have you. Some tactics on this. It's not a matter of just, hey, man, I have a 30 or I have a 50. That's it. Let's go. I want to discuss, Scotty, the troll and also the chunk, the popping and the jig. Can you do that from a small boat? Huh? Huh? And get these big hookups and these big fish going? Huh? Can you do it?
100%. Yes.
Okay, people, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Captain Scott Newhall, small boat tuna. It could be a crazy, what would you say, Scotty, hair-raising time, among other things, on some of these these big hookups and blow-ups. I saw some blow-ups on poppers, Scott. I don't want to mess with that fish.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The reward is huge if you score, that's for sure.
Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
This is South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Securing America.
The White House commenting Thursday on this week's revelation of an Iranian-backed plot to assassinate former President Trump. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says officials continue to watch
for any malign activity by foreign actors with respect to our electoral politics in this country.
Kirby says the monitoring of the threat has been constant following the drone strike in January of 2020, which killed Iranian Revolutionary Guard commander and known terrorist Qassem Soleimani.
And the Iranians' desire for retribution for that.
And Kirby adds,
we continue to communicate as appropriate with, you know, with those who could be targeted.
The Iranian threat is not believed to be associated with last Saturday's assassination attempt on the former president. Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Whether you're planning a barbecue, hitting the beach, or just soaking up the sun, make your summer unforgettable at BetMGM. Looking for some hot thrills? Then get ready to dive into the excitement this summer with Shark Week Jaws of Steel. During the month of July, spin their Shark Week Jaws of Steel slot and sink your teeth into a daily prize up to $4,000. Play every day during the promotional period for even more chances to win big. Your summer fun is just a spin away with BetMGM's hottest promotion. Download the BetMGM Casino app today and turn your summer into a season of excitement and rewards. Sink your teeth into a daily prize up to $4,000 when you spin the Shark Week Jaws of Steel slot. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, New Jersey only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit unless otherwise provided in the applicable terms. Rewards subject to expiry. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Joining us is Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters Base of Seeking. Topic is small boat tuna. Cap, before we get to, again, the small boat, especially with the trolling, that's an R form with the small boat, setting up a small boat spread. This is just some reminders of the CR Ridge, the AC Ridge, Barnicot Ridge, Manasquan Ridge, 15 to 20 miles out of respective force. You got the seaside alums, the Massey Quasi Canyon, as Captain Al Cardelli explained to me years ago. Massey isn't really a canyon, so we got the Little Italy wreck. You have the reeds, or as Captain Scott mentioned, you have enclosed to mid-range opportunities with the new, the small boats, especially the newest ones the past few years. These are great little fishing machines that can handle big fish. But Scott, let's get to that. Well, the one thing you mentioned about, again, avoiding chaos, because there are a lot of boats that you made a good point the other night. We were talking recognizing postures on the other boats. What's happening? Go.
So you don't need to see the bent rod from a few hundred yards away. You might not be able to see it at all. There could be a little fog, a little haze, whatever. But when you see people scurrying around the boat as opposed to just kind of chilling and watching while there's a troll going on, or for that matter, jigging or popping, something is taking place. Likely they're hooked up with a tuna. So now you know they're hooked up. You want to stay clear of them. You don't go troll right up on them. That's, it's just terrible, terrible etiquette. You could risk cutting off their fish. Very likely you could do that. In fact, if you watch the show on the Wicked Tuna on TV, you hear them talking. Well, that's legit. Okay, right. People cut off other people's fish. Last year at Barnegat Ridge, I had a real nice 65-inch bluefin. I did land it. Well, anyway, somebody was coming right up on me. Had no idea. I keep an air horn laying on my dash, and I unloaded on it. Luckily, the guy recognized that I was pulling the horn at him. He pulled up, and I was able to land that fish. But it happens all the time, and then you hear a very unkind profanity.
And like you said, Scott, sometimes that, you know, again, it's not all the time, but there is angling animus out there. It's a Tom P term. The jiggers hate the trollers, hate the popping guys, and hate the chunkers. But we have to all get along out there. Scott, real fast, I want to cover these tactics. Small boats trolling spreads go, especially with those devastating guys. The guys out of Marmora, these wide trackers, bad ass bars. Yes, go.
Wide trackers, Sterling Tackle out of Marmora, South Jersey company, innovator. Wide trackers are kind of like a planer board on the Great Lakes, but they're spreader bars that have a keel, and they will take the spreader bar, which is the tracker, and take them outside the wake. So now you can create a spread that is something that only outriggers used to do on very large boats, vessels, and you can do them on any size boat. So now we have all these small boats, and now I am running, for example, I'm running a 21-foot boat. I run seven lines. I run four wide trackers, and then I run my flat lines and one deep down the middle, okay? So you're literally running rods out of the bow of the boat. That will take your tracker bars, your wide trackers, to the furthest points to the port and the starboard. Then you run, you bring a rod amidships and run another one on each side. So the next thing you know, you have these churning spreader bars all over the place. So now you have this enormous spread on a small boat. This has been a game changer.
Right.
Okay. As great as Ballyhoo are, as great as they are, and don't get me wrong, sometimes they're totally keyed on the Ballyhoo. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can get the wide trackers, and they are now doing what Mojos did when they first came up from the Chesapeake area,
yeah.
And people discovered them for striped bass fishing. The Sterling wide trackers have brought novice and, you know, kind of part-timey kind of tuna guys in and brought them into the game, and you put out these spreads, and this gear is so effective. You can go out with not exactly a ton of tuna experience, and you will catch. First time I used them, I had three tuna years ago. It's unbelievable. And that goes back to the safety part and the etiquette part, too. Because you do have people that are just being introduced to the tuna part of the hobby, they have less awareness of what's going on around. So on these inshore and midshore spots, you're going to have more novice fishermen than maybe the canyon. So always being aware, like you said. And with all the gear running port and starboard of the boat, your spread is so big, you have to see where all the other boats are and understand how to make your turns.
Scott, your rod and reel and line for this trolling gig, what do you got?
Okay, so you don't need broomsticks out there, but you need something stout enough. You're pulling these wide trackers from the tip. So, and they do put a lot of pressure. So I personally run, I either have 30 or 50 internationals, depending what size tuna seem to be the most available.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your braid backing, and then I have 60-pound monofilament, and you run it up, and then you run your bimini twist, and, you know, so on and so forth. Now, the wide trackers themselves, Steve at Sterling, he has a nice long leader. If you just tie them straight to your main line, you're in business. You'll catch. You don't have to get crazy with a lot of nuanced leaders and super expert stuff. You can go right to the main line, and you're in the game. Okay, it might not be what Joe Canyon would do, who's been doing it 30 years out there in the Hudson or the Baltimore, but you will catch. Okay, so line capacity is important, but the great thing is, I'll tell you what, on a small boat, if you have to make a quicker turn, you know, when you're on with these single engine, 21, 23, 24 foot center consoles, the line capacity, you can make quicker maneuvers. You have people, you know, pulling in the other presentations, and you make a turn and can follow a freight train.
There you go. Hey, Scott, now you always advise keeping a spinning tack on a lighter outfit as well on board. You're coming up on the scene, the tuner crashing the top. Your choice for poppers?
Any of the Nomad design poppers they're unbelievable. Their split rings are designed to withstand the pressure of a tuna.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they're not all treble hooked. They have single hooks.
Right.
That seem to hold a little bit better. They're just made for the tuna application. I'd caution someone against taking a striper type popper out there because
he said that for my benefit, people. Okay, Newhall, you got it in there. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hey, he turned me on to the Chug Norris. I'm a Chug Norris man. My son now with the Nomads.
Chug Norris. I love that. What's that? Missing in Action?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
It's got also, we had some luck too, and some people I speak with, these tuna aces, they're loving this Mad Manis line as well. So you have your two premiums right there. Scott, you working the popper aggressively, then we have to get to the jig, and Scotty, go.
Yeah. So obviously, if you come up on the fish on top, you're chugging, you're popping. But you don't have, if you just have, you have bait, you have whales, safely come near the whale. Remember, I had a whale land on my boat, so I'm a little post-traumatic.
That was a good one, man. Tell me a whale just hit my boat.
That was off Seaside years ago in the straight path. I'm glad I'm here. But so if you have signs of life, so we haven't talked about it yet, but you're looking, you're reading your sounder. You have a lot of sand eel, squid, you know, juvenile whiting, this, that, yep. the other. You have bait. You have forage. You have tuna chicks, different kinds of birds. You're looking for mm-hmm. tons of tuna chicks slurping. You're looking for whales, two-tone dolphins, all these things. The guys who are really into jigging and really into popping don't want to troll at all, like right. you said. And they will look for those things and pop and jig to their heart's content. Me personally, if I get X amount of trips out there, whether it be 5 to 10, whatever it is in a given year, I want to catch fish. Trolling, especially if it's just, say, me and one other guy or something like that, or two guys, it'll take a lot of that stress of, am I jigging right? Am I popping right? It'll take as with any kind of trolling, if you do it right, it'll definitely up your odds.
Scott, one thing on the jigs too. I just love that. It's yeah. Especially now the jig technology, the Shimano's and the Chatterlure jigs, whatever. It's crazy. And it is a lot of fun, and it can be deadly effective. Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's unbelievable when they get right on the fish. Sometimes if a six pack, let's say a six pack charter that does this all the time, they'll have half the boat can be hooked up at one time.
Yeah, that's mayhem, man.
Yeah, it turns in, and the jigging is a better chance at a hookup jigging than popping by mm-hmm. far. Yeah. The fish can be gathered up, but usually more often than not, they're deep. Popping is the pinnacle is popping.
That's it. When they're on top, man, a bluefin, a yellowfin, especially. Well, Scott, it's effective. People, I'm out there. I want to catch fish. I don't do this. I want to catch fish. Hey, they're on a chunk. They're on bait. I don't care. Oh, that's bait fishing. Who cares? Scott, that chunk at times can be, and I've seen, you don't want to put your hand too close to the water, pretty much. The chunking can be, especially from a small boat, that really lights things up. When they're around, Scott, they're around that 18, 19, 20, 21 foot. Whoa, it's crazy.
Yeah, the chunk. Well, first of all, sometimes you have the trollers, chunkers, and jiggers. They're all in the same area. It's pretty. It gets pretty crazy, especially if you have a 2 foot sea and beautiful weather. Everybody's in the same spot. The chunk is it's an art form. Taking 2, 3, 4 flats. I mean, the more flats of butterfish you can take, the better. Usually, small boaters are on a little more of a budget, hence they're in small boats.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the pockets that some of the big boys have, but taking cast netting live peanut bunker, deadly. Buying
peanut,
get some live spots Captain Dave over at Absecon Bay if you can. Take the spots out, put more than just the butterfish in the chunk presentation, and then you got to keep the chunk going. You don't want to have no matter what, even if let's say you hook up with a big brown shark or something, it interrupts your chunk. Somebody's got to keep chunking as the other person's fighting, so that way you don't lose that ability to draw in some tuna. And that chunk bite, we talked about inshore and bluefin quite a bit, but that Massey's, as you alluded to, that'll be an August bite. And mm-hmm. those mm-hmm. yellowfin, if it's about 40, I want to say 42 miles about out of Cape May, that they would consider that midshore, and there is a lot of 21 to 26 foot boats there on the chunk. And you know, with the yellowfin, you can get into them. You might catch anywhere from 3 to 10 of those if you do it right on the day where they're biting well.
Scott, we only have about three or four minutes left. Real quickly, Joe, as a matter of this past week, I'm running around tackle shops at Hobart. There are guys that come in, they don't want butters. They insist on sardines, vice versa. Some guys, they're buying the frozen peanut bunker to chunk. Some areas, sometimes the fish are keyed, for example, I call them the deans. On the sardines, they don't want butters. They don't want chunks of butters. Otherwise, these fish, as maniacal as they are, Scott, they can be selective. Would you agree?
Extremely. It's the old Murphy's Law. You'll buy everything there is you could possibly have, from ballyhoo to butterfish, anything you need, and then you find out they're on something you didn't bring.
Yep.
So there is that aspect of it, without a doubt. So you just do the best you can. It's funny because my boat, I'm striper, actually fluke fishing now, but in the fall I'll be striper fishing, and you have some reliable friends and they'll say, the bluefin are here. Next thing you know, the next morning, you're riding out to go catch tuna, right, and you look to the right and the left, and you, in the back of your boat, you see Berkeley Gulp on the floor. So, you're trying to make the small boaters, they probably bought their small boat to striper, fluke, and tog. So they're making a quick change. Mm-hmm. And again, you can do that with these fish. And by the way, when tuna are at, they're 10, 20, 30 miles offshore, you can call time out and be like, all right, we fished 11 or 12 from dawn, we're going in. It's not a 70, 80 mile ride.
Right.
You can fish a half or three quarter day and head in and enjoy the rest of your life.
Scotty, we have 1 minute left now. Again, one or two guys in a boat, like you do a lot of it on your running. The end game, the safety feature, you have a big fish alongside mid-range, because tuna or monocle, they're crazy. End game, safely getting that fish on the deck. Go.
Well, this is real important, especially for those that are inexperienced. The time when most folks lose their tuna is at the boat. They go in their circles, right? So they're on there to the boat circling. The angler has to be ready to move around the boat. You can't just stay stable. You want your most experienced angler on the rod when it's coming to the boat. That's my opinion of that, because you have to be ready to dig that rod in the water if it's going to graze the line on the prop or the boat. Unfortunately, I know way too many people have lost that tuna at the end when it made a run and grazed the skeg on the engine. So as far as gaffing goes, I try to keep a gaff on each side of the boat, on each side of the console. So wherever it comes up, if I'm fishing solo, that's a whole other story. I'm going out tuna fishing by myself. Then you can grab the gaff and stick it. Now, if you have multiple people, you can use two gaffs. Aim for somewhere meaty like the head. That way you don't, ruin any meat if you can. But let's face it, getting the tuna in the boat's the top priority. So, obviously, if it's huge tuna, you're starting to talk, harpoons and tail ropes and all that good stuff. But, if it's a reasonable size, 150, 170, 180 pounds or less, two guys with two gaffs can easily get that fish in the boat. But if you have someone who's less experienced and they want to fight the fish, let them fight the fish when it's further out. Just advise, if it feels like the line went limp, the tuna's probably coming toward the boat. Real, 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 real. Okay? It didn't get off. It just turned and is coming your way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Captain Scott, thanks for joining us on Rock and Fin. Listeners, Captain Scott Newhall, timeout charter, small boat tuna, try it out. Just be careful, know your winds, know where you want to go, and have a contact. As you said, be aware, have tuna buddies out there. Some you don't want to, safety is the most important thing. Like I said, Scott, this is it could be a wild time now through October into November, mid-range or in close. Again, these lumps and ridges, there's tuna around. Scott, thanks for joining us. By the way, before we go, how's that lovely family?
They're great. They're so much fun.
Okay, Captain Scott, we will see you soon. You take care.
Thank you, Tom. Have a great day.
You too.
The WPG Talk Radio app is everything South Jersey on your phone and in your car through Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Local news, weather, and information updated around the clock from New Jersey's largest radio news team. Easy access to WPG podcasts and more. Powered by Smoker's Haven. You'll find the finest selection of cigars at any of their five locations. Stop in and let them help you find the perfect cigar to pair with your life. Visit smokershavennj.com.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. 34 congressional Democrats agree that President Biden should drop out of the race for a second term. Florida Congressman Jared Moskowitz on Fox's Jesse Waters primetime weighs in.
The president needs to make this decision himself. Obviously, there's a ton of pressure. One more member, another member. I mean, the pressure is already there.
President Biden remains in the race. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and his running mate, J.D. Vance, make their first campaign appearance later today in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Today's rally being held indoors. That's easier to secure, with police in Grand Rapids saying the department is working with federal law enforcement with an unwavering commitment to safety.
Fox's Jeff Manasso reporting the failed assassination on the former president a week ago today during an outdoor rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee has died at the age of 74. America's listening to Fox News.
For WPG Talk Radio 95.5, AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, intervals of clouds and sunshine, high 85. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a shower, low 66. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sun, high 88. Tomorrow night, thickening clouds with a low of 68. On Monday, periods of clouds and sunshine with a high of 86. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, you got some guys moaning, for lack of a better term. This one seabass limiting. It's so stupid. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, guys, you're out there flounder fishing. You get a keeper, it adds to the fillet count. Yeah, why only one fish? It's so stupid. It used to be two fish. We had Peter Clark on, marine fisheries biologist, also had the Artificial Reef Project, explaining the flounder and seabass and porgy situations, these formulas, whatever, whatever, how it works out. And yet, the limits are still, even at 10 or 15 fish, still kind of sparse considering how much the stock has been rebuilt. As usual, went to the Fisherman Magazine, New Jersey, Delaware Bay edition, and Jim Hutchinson's editor's log. Check it out. We're Hutch guy. I tell you, he is the best fisheries news guy on the planet. It is the July issue. His editor's log, pound for pound, will make you want to pound your head on the wall. You realize in North Carolina now, no summer flounder fishery. Now, they had a one day on a Friday opening, one day for red snapper, even though they're eating the paint off the bottom of the boats. Hutch lays it out here. Actually, it's an early recording because he is at ICAST, or going to be at ICAST. Man, I had 19 of those, 20 of those in a row. I don't miss that at all. He has a few minutes to break this incredible editor's log down. And what this means for now, there's another stock assessment or something going on with Black Seabass. What it means for the future, I don't know, Hutch. You have me dizzy all over the place with this editor's log. Thanks for joining us, man. Let's shed some light on here. Hutch, no flounder fishing in North Carolina?
No flounder fishing in North Carolina.
And one day of red snapper fishing.
That's coming up on Friday, July 12th.
Yep. Okay,
that would have passed by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah, this is a pre-recorded.
The red snapper season will have already been
Hey, man, you're going to be down in Orlando. You know, let me know how that plays out, man. Some of those Florida writers, their asses must be in the air big time.
They call that the happiest place on earth, and as soon as you get out the airport, you realize it's the hottest place on earth. It hits you like a wave. Hey, you know, you mentioned something, Peter Clark at the New Jersey Division of Fish and Wildlife. That guy's a maestro. I don't know if recreational fishermen, if my fellow anglers, realize how blessed we are. You know, we always come to these New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council meetings, and we scream up and down about the stupid regulations, and I'm with you. But Pete Clark is able to grab a handful of rotten lemons and make lemonade every time out of the box. Mm-hmm. And we're really blessed in that sense. So, but you mentioned black sea bass. And, you know, I don't know to what extent this is a bycatch reduction, having the one fish bag limit for us, or if it's really just kind of the opportunity to target or to keep a black sea bass. And I don't know, to think about that, when it comes to regulated species like flounder or sea bass, Every fish that we catch and throw back counts towards a mortality rate. And I believe the sea bass mortality rate, if I'm not mistaken, is 10%.
10%, yep.
Which means every 100 black sea bass you release, 10 of them are dead, you know? So in that vein, by getting an accidental sea bass during the summer while you're fluking and you don't have to throw it back, that means that's one less report of a released fish. Mm-hmm. So that theoretically reduces your bycatch mortality and takes advantage of putting one in the box. So that's the conundrum in fisheries right. management. I think that's the basis of why I wrote pound for pound.
And what's it, Hutch, the pound for pound payback? Go into that. That was pretty intriguing.
So when the federal fisheries law was reauthorized back in 2007.
Right. Magnuson-Stevens, yeah.
The Magnuson-Stevens Act put some really strict language in there and said commercial and recreational fishermen have to be managed by annual catch limits, ACLs, which sounds fair. I remember during the lobbying portion of this, a lot of us were opposed to this in the recreational community, but members of Congress were like, well, don't you want any catch limits? And said, well, we already have catch limits, Congressman, and we have that through quotas and harvests. We've got to stay in control with our regulations. You know, they give us a regulation, season, size, and bag, to keep us constrained. We don't need another limit on top. Now, well, you gotta have some limits. So they put in the annual catch limits, and then if you go over your limit, you need to be punished. So we're going to come up with accountability measures. And don't you want to be accountable?
AMs,
so they used all these buzzwords because it sounded like the right thing to do. These members of Congress. But what it ended up doing is saying, that means now that the recreational fishing community now has a pound-for-pound quota. So those black sea bass that we're releasing that count towards mortality, that will go against that annual catch limit eventually. And we get surveyed on the docks or by phone or by a mail postcard, and I don't know how many readers or how many of your listeners have ever been surveyed by the federal government about what you catch, but I dare say it's maybe 1%.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you monitor pound-for-pound limits if you don't have a pound-for-pound analysis? And that's why this bycatch mortality stuff is killing the red snapper guys in the South Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's killing the North Carolinians who are going after flounder who now can't.
And they had, a 2-week season last year, 2 or 3 week season or something like that.
They had a 2-week season last year because now what they're doing now in North Carolina, and this is pretty much there's the nugget that's in this editorial. North Carolina is now forced to say, look, I know that you have a registry. I know that we licensed you now because the federal government was supposed to make their recreational data collection better, but it's not better. It's not better, and they're not making it any better. So here's what we need. In North Carolina, if you're inshore fishing, we need mandatory reporting. So because the federal government hasn't fixed the recreational data collection and North Carolina had to shut down their flounder fishery, now they're forced, starting this fall, to ask every angler that goes out fishing to come back and report directly back to the government everything that they do that day. Because now you can have pound-for-pound management, because theoretically, if every angler reports his catch every single day after the trip, now he can be accountable. This is the disconnect, and you've got the two extremes, Tom. So this is kind of, I fear this is the direction Federal Fisheries Service is going because they're so poor in getting their job done. What? But that's the thing that's happening in North Carolina. So even though they have a saltwater license, a lot of friends of mine who wanted a saltwater license and said, look what happens in North Carolina. They do this, they do this, they do this. Well, now look what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know. Is that what you want out of your saltwater license? Because it's not going to help them against the fatally flawed recreational data, and it's not going to help them against the federal government agency that can't see their butt with both hands.
We're speaking with Jim the opinionated Jim Hutchinson Jr., managing editor of New Jersey, Delaware Bay edition of Fisherman Magazine, his July editor's log, pound for pound. Well, Jim, let me ask you this. Is that article archived in September 2023? Listeners, it's in the editor's log here. You have the article, NOAA Bombshell Angler Effort Survey Still Flawed. Go into that, which I saw the 30 to 40%, my 300 pounds fell off the chair.
So if you go to thefisherman.com, there's a little search bar to the right, little magnifying glass. Just put in N-O-A-A, NOAA Bombshell, and eventually you'll find that story from September. So last fall, I sat in on this conference call, and I wasn't invited. Usually I'm not invited to any of these government conference calls, but I got a tip, so I jumped in. And that was when NOAA Fisheries, under the Commerce Department, said, so listen, we're doing a little bit of investigation into our fishing effort surveys, which is part of the Marine Recreational Information Program. And MRIP is what replaced the Marine Recreational Fishing Statistical Survey. You know, listen, we've been improving the data, but guess what? So I think we're overestimating angler effort by as much as 40%. Now, if you think about that, that the recreational data collection, the fishing effort survey, and this MRIP improvement over what used to be, they're saying that we are participating at a 40% higher rate than we actually are in the angling community. And if we're participating in the fishery at 40% higher, that means we must be catching at least 30-40% more fish than we actually are. And when those numbers come back at the end of the year, it says, for example, hey, you know what? You're 30-40% over your annual catch limit. And now you're going to suffer accountability measure, the punishment. And the punishment is this. So go back to North Carolina for a second. 40% overestimation of effort. And let's say a 40% overestimation of actual catch. Why the North Carolinians aren't allowed to flounder fish. Because according to MRIP, you already fished over your target. And that's why North Carolina is responding. So this is when NOAA said, hey, listen, our recreational data collection is really broken. We're going to go back to the drawing board. So the question we had last fall when I wrote this article, NOAA Bombshell, I said, so are you going to scrap it? Stop putting all these undue draconian limits in place for fluke and sea bass and striped bass? Well, no. It's still the best available science. So we got to use it until we fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like driving a car without wheels until you get the tires put on. So where we are now, and last week, last week or 2 weeks ago, there was a hearing on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. There's a bill floating around in Congress to mandate a better way to fix recreational information program. And basically what it would do is give states some of the funding to run their own programs, like North Carolina is now forced to do. And I think going back to how we started, Tom, Pete Clark and the staff of the Division of Fish and Wildlife does a great job. Mm-hmm. If there was more availability for staff, more money coming in from the Fed, Fed's giving out money left and right to different states, right? Why don't we get some and improve the recreational data collection, let the state of New Jersey manage it. That's the one thing that this bill on Capitol Hill is doing. So it's going to be interesting to see how this winds through, because NOAA Fisheries ain't fixing it. Again, a bombshell.
And Hutch, they're just not accountable. Yeah, well, that's so we made a mistake. Big deal. That's the attitude I seem to get.
The members, we anglers, have to be accountable. You got to be accountable, son. You turn around and say, well, who makes you accountable?
Exactly right.
Government world. Well, nobody. Really. We're unaccountable. Folks should read about the Chevron deference. Take a look at thefisherman.com next week while I'm at ICAST. So it's this week. So you're listening to this during the week of July 15th, right? Go to thefisherman.com and look at my editorial called The Chevron Deference. That was the big Supreme Court decision a couple of weeks ago. And take a look at my take. Basically, federal government finally pushed fishermen too far,
mm-hmm.
and we finally got a Supreme Court case in our favor that said
that was something. I found that tough. I didn't realize. I said, "Am I? This is historic. Am I seeing this?"
It is historic. And I had some debates with, so my daughter just graduated NYU law. So she's going to be a law school. She's going to be a lawyer in New York City in the fall. And sharp kid, right? But, you know, she's young, so she's not progressive. She's liberal. So we had a discussion about this, and she said, well, all the bad things that could happen to the environment because of the Chevron deference. And I said, well, let me just tell you something. The government pushed the fishermen too far.
Yep.
This time they went too far. It was commercial fishermen, but I think the recreational should acknowledge the fact that this is the government pushing us around to the point where it was unconstitutional. And finally, we're able to get one through the Supreme Court to go back to Noah and say, yeah, you've been violating the Constitution for a while. And I think the Chevron deference, the overturning of that decision, mm-hmm. could play big into recreational data collection. Could play big into
exactly right, Hutch.
Black sea bass and, yep. and summer flounder. You know, so it's going to be worth watching.
Well, Jim, we're up against a heartbreak. Jim Hutchinson, I'm thinking of bacon. I'm thinking of biscuits. How do you describe sea bass as biscuits?
Biscuits. I love saying biscuits.
That's a shout-out. Was that a Gary Caputo?
A little butter on it. I don't know who told me that one. My dad makes fun of me all the time. I say, all you do is put a little butter on there.
Listeners, check Hutch's the July issue. Just outstanding editorial, editor's log, pound for pound. I want to close with Hutch's final paragraph here. Close season bycatches problem in the angling world exemplified with the red snapper and flounder mess down south. And perhaps our one fish sea bass allowance helps reduce that bycatch mortality number. I don't know. But in, check this out. This is vintage Hutch. But in the pound for pound world of fisheries management, it's the recreational angler who keeps getting pounded. And Hutch, you said it right there, man. Well, listen, you have a safe ICAST gig. We'll talk to you when you get back, man.
I just want to be on the next plane out of here. I don't want to stay until Sunday like I did last year.
Oh, no. That's torture. That's torture. Thanks. Okay, Hutch, you take care, man.
Have a good weekend.
See you.
Bye.
Jim Hutchinson Jr., the best fisheries newsman on the planet. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, Where Do We Go Now? Americans are expressing exhaustion and division after the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Also, what's it say about your company culture when bosses monitor everything you do, including your keyboard activity? Plus, the parrot who's got a thing for obscene language, and now concert goers are turning this summer into one of rock and roll. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Harry Hurley for my friends at Ambient Comfort Heating and Air Conditioning Professionals. By now, your air conditioner has been working pretty hard, and there are still many, many hot days ahead. If you're experiencing weak airflow, inconsistent cooling, higher than normal energy bills, or you're hearing unusual noises from your AC, call my friends at Ambient Comfort, and you can save $50 on your AC repair. The sooner you discover a problem, the easier the repairs tend to be. So don't wait. When comfort matters, choose who I choose. Choose Ambient Comfort and get $50 off your AC repair when you tell them that Harry Hurley sent you. AmbientComfortNJ.com. That's AmbientComfortNJ.com. You can schedule your service online and see their great reviews or call Ambient Comfort at 609-568-0955. That's 609-568-0955 and save $50. Off your AC repair. Tell them Harry Hurley sent you.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy. A lot of stuff happening. Saltwater front, freshwater front, and it's never too early to start checking out those bucks in velvet. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next Saturday. Rack and Fin Radio.